Welcome to Path to Zero, the podcast about clean energy and the journey toward a low-carbon future. Your host is Tucker Perkins, President and CEO of the Propane Education and Research Council. Now, here's Tucker.
Hello, Path to Zero listeners. In this episode, we're revisiting one of the most popular topics we've ever covered on this show. Back in 2020, we spoke with Dr. Daniel Olson, Colorado State University, about a groundbreaking research project to develop high-efficiency propane engines. That episode struck a chord. It still holds the record as our most listened to show, with more than 500,000 plays. At the time, Colorado State University had just received a $3.5 million grant from the U.S. Department of Energy to see if propane, a clean, abundant fuel, could match the efficiency of diesel in heavy-duty engines. Dr. Olson and his team have now completed that research, and we're thrilled to have him back to share what they learned, how close they got to their goals, and what this could mean for the future of clean transportation. Dr. Olson, it's so great to see you again, and thanks for joining us here on Path to Zero. It's great to talk to you again.
It's great to talk to you as well, Tucker.
Dr. Olson, it's been a few years since we first spoke. Can you remind our listeners what the big goal of the propane engine research project was, and even perhaps why it's important?
Sure. It was a project that ran approximately from 2020 to 2024. It's a project funded by the Department of Energy Vehicle Technologies Office. And the overall goal was to develop technologies for LPG, or in the U.S., we typically refer to it as propane engines, to achieve the same or similar efficiencies to diesel engines. So that's the overall goal of the project, was to increase the efficiency of propane engines to be the same as diesel engines for the same engine size and same application, basically.
And how close did we get to that goal?
We met the goal. So we're pretty excited about the results of the project. We met our goal and, achieved all of our milestones. It was a successful project here at CSU.
And I think for a lot of our listeners, they probably don't understand even why that was such a goal. But for years, the brake thermal efficiency, the way we would measure the efficiency of an engine for a diesel engine, was kind of the top of the mountain, if you would. And I guess some of those diesel engines, the efficient versions today, would have approached mid 40% brake thermal efficiency. And that's what we were trying to achieve with a propane engine, which probably before this work, even the most efficient engines were in the low 30%, right? Is that an accurate statement?
That's true. Yeah. Our goal is 44%. And that corresponds to the peak torque, speed, and operating conditions of a 15 liter Cummins diesel engine. So 44% was our goal. And the incentive, as you mentioned, propane engines for years have been lower efficiency, and that's because they are converted gasoline engines, and the modifications for optimizing the engine for propane are not really carried out. And so the efficiency is low, and, the idea is that has been limiting the market penetration of propane engines. And so the focus of this project was to overcome that by applying advanced technologies to improve the efficiency and match the diesel counterpart.
What are some of those advanced technologies? I know perhaps you'll talk about piston shape. Maybe you'll talk about how you introduce air. But what are some of those advanced technologies that make now a propane engine have the same efficiency as a diesel engine?
So there's a number of technologies that we employed, and we did this on a single cylinder engine. We took a Cummins 15 liter long haul truck engine and then converted it to a single cylinder engine. That allows us to employ these advanced technologies at a lower cost. And our partners on the project were Cummins and Argonne National Lab. But to your question, if I were to list off the technologies, it's direct or port injection. It is high boost, high power density, exhaust gas recirculation, a new piston design, higher compression ratio, advanced piston crown shape. So the combustion chamber is really dictated by the piston shape in this engine. The top of the, or the bottom of the cylinder head is flat. And then the other technology is, well, two more technologies. One is advanced controls. So now there are controllers that can measure the combustion pressure in real time and then make changes to the control of the engine to maintain optimal operation. And so that was employed using the Woodward large engine control module. And then the last thing is we used a Woodward pre-chamber spark plug, which stabilizes combustion. So those are the advanced technologies that we employed.
Interesting that one of those technologies that was facilitating this is direct injection. So for years, of course, we've relied on port injection. And this, I mean, really, this is probably one of just two or three engines that I'm aware of now that we are beginning to talk about direct injection. How important is direct injection to achieving this efficiency?
Well, in our testing, we were able to achieve the target efficiency with both direct injection and port injection. So I would say that it's important to have one of those two, and that the injection, the injector and the location of the injector be optimized. Now, we were limited with our direct injection approach because we were basically working with aftermarket approaches. So the approach we took for the direct injection was, number one, we took a off-the-shelf gasoline direct injection injector, and we modified that. We installed a new nozzle, or we designed a new nozzle. That work was done by C0. And then the injector would flow more, and it would be more matched to the cylinder design. The other approach we took was to procure aftermarket injectors that are used for racing, basically. And they have the injector nozzles, the flow area increased. So neither one of those is optimal. The best approach would be to have an injector manufacturer as a partner on the project. And we weren't able to do that. The injector manufacturers generally, they want to see a high volume before they invest the research dollars. So that was our approach. And as I said, we met the goal. I think the direct injection approach, there's more to be gained there.
Yeah. Excellent. Any surprises that you on this project that you learned along the way, perhaps even positive or negative surprises?
Number one, the current LPG or propane engines that are used in buses are significantly less efficient. So I was really surprised to see that. And I was surprised at how much improvement we were able to make.
Yeah.
The, you know, kind of on the negative side, to go back to the direct injector technology, you know, that was really difficult. That was really difficult to modify injectors and redesign them for propane. You know, if you compare diesel and gasoline to propane, the energy density is not as high and propane tends to evaporate quicker. So that presents some challenges in the injector application. And so that was definitely a challenge and a surprise that we were able to overcome, but it was, you know, it was very challenging.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah, I know for me, I think a pleasant surprise, one was to see that you could actually do it, but also I think because as you said earlier, for years we've really modified gasoline engines to operate on propane, and gasoline engines are generally lighter frames. We're now for one, you know, less oil, and now using these diesel blocks, we can improve the compression ratios. We have lots of oil for additional cooling, but we can do it. We can, for once, bring the advantages of diesel fuel to a much cleaner fuel like propane. So let's talk about that last part of that. Why would you be interested? Why would a fleet be interested? Why would an environmental advocate be interested in moving from diesel to propane? What in your mind, what are the environmental benefits?
Well, in my mind, the largest environmental benefit would be, comparing to diesel, would be no particulate matter from a LPG engine. And then propane has a lower carbon to hydrogen ratio, and so the CO2 emissions are reduced. I will say that with the lower efficiency propane engines, you don't actually get to take advantage of that benefit, because when the efficiency is not as good, you can't achieve those lower CO2 emissions that are possible. But if you're matching the efficiency of diesel, the propane or LPG has a much lower carbon to hydrogen ratio than diesel, and so you get a CO2 reduction. So that, you know, that is, those address the emissions benefits. Our strategy was to use a stoichiometric mixture. And so with a stoichiometric mixture, and that is in combination with exhaust gas recirculation, with a stoichiometric mixture, you can employ a three-way catalyst, which are very, you know, that's a proven technology. They're on every gasoline car that's on the road, and you can achieve very low pollutant emissions, oxides of nitrogen, carbon monoxide, and hydrocarbon emissions. So the three-way catalyst is used because we are operating it with a stoichiometric mixture. And the EGR, exhaust gas recirculation, is an important component for emission reduction, because that reduces the NOx coming out of the engine, the oxides of nitrogen coming out of the engine. And then the three-way catalyst does not have to reduce as much NOx. And so that's favorable, because the NOx can be difficult for three-way catalysts because of the nonlinear behavior in the three-way catalyst.
Time for a break. We'll get back to our conversation with Colorado State University's Dr. Daniel Olson after this.
Zero is a big number. Getting close to a zero emissions future starts with using the broadest mix of clean, low-carbon energy sources. You might be surprised to know that propane produces a lot of energy for thousands of purposes and millions of people with virtually zero particulate matter, zero impact to the ozone, zero toxicity, and zero potential for storage-related contamination. It's low NOx and low CO2 to boot. Path to Zero is sponsored by Propane. Energy for everyone. Learn more at propane.com. Maybe I'll
win. Welcome back. Let's continue our conversation with Dr. Daniel Olson, who headed up a Colorado State University research team to develop a propane engine for heavy-duty vehicles that matches the efficiency of diesel. So where do we go from here? You've done this work. You've had great partners with Argonne National Lab, with Cummins, Department of Energy, Vehicle Technology Office. Where do you go from here? Do you start thinking about how to implement this technology with an engine manufacturer? Do you need to go to a version two? Where do you go from here with this?
Well, we'd like to do that. I'll just mention as a side note, PERC did collaborate with Cummins. This was actually going on in parallel with this work we were doing on the 15 liter. And they did come out with a 6.7 liter propane engine with a lot of the same approaches for efficiency improvement and emissions reduction. So I think that's a good model. You know, that's a good model for taking the technology to market, this collaboration between PERC and Cummins. So we, you know, in general, we like to get involved with on the commercial side and on the application side, do field projects. But, you know, in general, we're limited as far as what we can do to move something to commercialization, especially something like an engine where, you know, the manufacturers are well established and, you know, they have their own internal process for commercialization and product development. And our role is more about developing the technology that can then be commercialized by manufacturers. But as I said, yeah. we're really interested to be involved in that. And I'm always looking for projects like that so that our work can be more than just demonstrated in the lab and then stop at that point. I like to see the technologies go into commercialization.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah, this is monumental work, and we didn't really talk about it, but just for listeners who are thinking about it, why would we want a more efficient engine? I think if you're a fleet manager, you would answer that because you can get more miles per gallon, if you would, out of your fuel usage. So your cost of operation for fuel can go down significantly. And as you said earlier, some of the engines that we relied on for the last decade or so aren't very efficient. They're still, they do the job, but a fleet manager using this more efficient engine would get more miles per gallon. I would also say from an environmental perspective, we're converting more of that fuel to energy. So what's left over, to your point, we have less particulate matter, less CO2. You didn't mention it earlier, but I would have said one of my favorite savings is in NOx emissions, right? We're virtually moving from diesel to propane. We virtually eliminate NOx emissions, and we do it with a simpler powertrain. So it's really critical work that you've done and work that I think is incumbent on all of us to see gets into the marketplace.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think you hit on, you know, kind of the key advantage for a fleet manager would be the cost savings, lower cost per gallon, And I believe there's also a maintenance savings as well with propane versus diesel. You know, we're getting into an area that would be better to talk to the fleet managers about, but you know, the, for example, that the after treatment system on a diesel engine costs nearly the same as the engine itself. And so there's a, you know, there's a high dollar maintenance associated with the after treatment system that needs to be considered, whereas the propane, stoichiometric propane engine would just have the three-way catalyst, which, you know, there's a significant cost there, but it's not as high as what you would see on a diesel engine.
Yeah. Dan, we have a little fun on this program. We like to kind of give you two fun questions. And one, in just a moment, I'm going to hand you a magic wand and let you use that wand to make one wish. Now, in your case, and I know many of our listeners probably don't realize the great work that goes on at Colorado State University, even beyond propane, but you are one of the leading partners, I think, that we have had for, I don't know, I'm going back nearly 15 years. You've been such a strong partner to us, even as we think about the role of energy, but particularly the role of propane in the field of energy. So I'm gonna let you go as broad as you want with your mechanical engineering degree and your field of view. But Dr. Olson, I'm going to hand you the magic wand, and you can use it one time for one wish in the next year that you think it would have the most impact for energy. And I'm not going to limit you to energy transition. I'm going to let you use it. You don't have to limit it to natural gas or propane. What's the one area that you would like to use your wand to change something in the next year?
I'll move to another area because we're really excited about the work we're doing in natural gas. I mean, this propane work has been great, and obviously I want to see that continue. But we have a proposal out that has been paused, and that proposal involves reducing methane emissions on natural gas pipeline systems, specifically in the natural gas compressor stations. You have engine and compressors that run on natural gas and then compress natural gas. And we have a proposal that is currently paused. And my magic wand would be that that proposal would get contracted, because I believe it has a potential to have a significant impact on the natural gas pipeline industry. And what that the program is called MERP. It's part of the Department of Energy Methane Emission Reduction Program. And what our proposal is to reduce methane emissions from the compressor vents, from the engine itself, and there's four elements to it, but the proposal is to employ that package, first prove it in the lab, and then deploy it to three different field sites. And I think, like I said, I think that has the potential to have a large impact on the natural gas system and emissions reduction.
Interesting. A great use of your wand. You'd like to wave that wand and get that project approved and get it on track, right? And so you can reduce methane emissions in compressor stations.
Right. Yep.
Good job. All right. A lot of people may not realize that you are a returning guest, your second time on Path to Zero. And we love to plant a tree in a national forest in honor and respect for the time you spent with us today and for sharing your expertise with us. Last time you picked the Arapaho Roosevelt National Forest, one of many forests that are a day's drive from your campus there in Colorado. But Dr. Olson, where would you like us to plant a tree in honor of this episode?
Well, let's go with the Umatilla National Forest. That's in Oregon. So I grew up in...
You're throwing us a curveball there. I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, I grew up in the Northwest and spent a lot of time fishing in the Umatilla National Forest. So let's go with that one.
That's great. Dr. Olson, if people want to learn more about what's going on at Colorado State University, perhaps even the great work that you're doing there, how would they learn more about your work?
Well, for starters, I would go to our website, and that is, you can just Google Energy Institute at Colorado State University. You'll land on our website. And most of the work that we've been talking about is carried out at the Powerhouse Energy Campus, which is an off-campus laboratory about a mile north of Colorado State University. So they can go to the website. They can also contact me directly, and I'd be happy to discuss the projects that we're working on further.
Great. Well, Dr. Daniel Olson, Colorado State University, it's wonderful to see you again. It's a pleasure to hear the results of this work, and thank you so much for joining us today on Path to Zero.
Yeah, it's great to see you, Tucker, and thanks for having me back.
If you like what you heard from Daniel Olson and our other guest on Path to Zero, please subscribe on your favorite podcast app or YouTube and post a review. It helps a lot to expand our audience. Path to Zero interviews are also available on my new Substack newsletter, along with articles and insights on the clean energy innovation. You can find me on Substack at pathtozero.substack.com. Thanks again for listening, and see you next time on Path to Zero.